Thanks very much, Richard, and good morning, everyone. I want to begin by acknowledging the Gadigal people as the traditional owners and custodians on whose land we meet today. I also want to acknowledge Carly Maywald and Dean Brown, but of course Richard Hopkins from Icebourne, but each and every one of you is very important people across government, across the research sector, across industry that played a role with respect to how we managed the drought during what was a very, very significant period in South Australia's history, and that's how it'll be reflected. But I thank you very much, Richard, for inviting me here to open today's workshop. And it's an important opportunity for the best minds that exist with respect to this particular issue gathered in this room today. And it's important to be able to share your knowledges and your learnings and your experiences in what was the most unprecedented drought, certainly in anyone's living memory in this room. You'd all be aware, 2006-2007, Carlene was the Minister. Without being disrespectful, my very good friend Carlene, she always wanted to be known as the Minister for Floods. And was only ever, and will only ever be remembered as the Minister during drought and the Minister during low security, but she doesn't mind me saying that. And of course, everything changed significantly when I became the Minister. and of course, it would be a bit bizarre to take credit for the breaking of the drought because that was nature, but I think what we can do in this room is take some credit with respect to how we managed what was a significant event that went over many years. But you remember 2006-2007, record low inflows, and around Cabinet we were always thinking it's going to stop soon, it's going to rain soon, it's going to rain soon. But those historic low flows were followed by successive years of low flows historically low flows at the same time from our lofty ranges, experienced dry conditions, record low inflows into our catchments up there. And of course, it all changed almost overnight. September 2010, and it rained and it rained and it rained, and I'm thankful for that. And it did change significantly overnight. But in addition to the extreme low River Murray water availability, the quality of the state's metropolitan water supplies were also at risk due to increasing water salinity levels, the acidification that was exposed through acid sulphate soils down in the lower section of the river. It's not an exaggeration to say that the state was facing a catastrophe. We can't put it any differently than that. And as a result of that, a whole of government response was required and implemented to deal with this particular issue. The establishment of the Water Security Task Force, now known as the Water Security Council, and the Water Security Technical Working Group. The immediate goal was of the River Murray drought response was to maintain a supply of potable quality water to meet critical human needs for all South Australians that rely on it. That's 90% of this state's population. Another key goal was to share any additional water between a strategic water reserve for the next year's critical human water needs, protecting the key environmental assets and providing water for our irrigation communities. Some of the other projects undertaken included modifying and lowering the major SA water pumping station offtakes to enable water to be extracted at lower and very low water levels, pumping water into storages in the Adelaide Hills to build up reserves to provide that buffer against potential water quality issues from our source from the River Murray, securing a water reserve each year in the Murray-Darling Basin storages to ensure critical human needs could be met in the subsequent year, and sourcing additional water reserves through market purchases, as well as fast-tracking the country water quality improvement program so as to ensure that the water quality being provided to 17 communities along the river was filtered and safe for potable use. The state government also commenced the Murray Futures Program. They included, and a lot in the room would be familiar with those, the construction of irrigation stock and domestic pipelines around the Lower Lakes. And again, I congratulate the role of Carlene in that and Dean Brown, the commencement of the Curon Lower Lakes and Murray Mouth Program, the commencement of the Riverine Recovery Program, and the augmentation of the Clayton water supplies. Assistance was also provided to the River Murray horticultural industry to enable the survival of that industry for future years. And we did that by purchasing water and providing water to keep permanent plantings alive in that very important regional economy of South Australia. Some permanent wetlands were temporarily blocked off to save evaporation losses and prevent high salinity and nutrient-rich water draining back into the River Murray. And negotiations were undertaken with through Aboriginal agreements for a possible weir at Amanda Island, disconnection of wetlands and the dredging processes that were required. Other measures to assist with the drought include fast-tracking your environmental approvals for dredging to enable irrigation and navigation. Again, Dean Brown and Carly played a very, very important role in that. Extending footings for ferries to ensure transport across the River Murray was assured. Modelling flows, water levels and salinities, monitoring the management of salinity, acid sulphate soils, heavy metals, air quality around the lower lakes and riverine ecology below Lock 1. It's safe to say there was a lot of work going on. But we also saw impacts on the riverbed and banks that were managed through the implementation of the Riverbank Collapse Hazard Program, including investigations into levee bank cracking and subsistence along the lower River Murray. And of course, that's still a problem. Everyone says the drought's over, but the impacts that we saw and that arose as a result of the drought is still with us, whether that be, and I noticed Leslie Fisher, whether that be the salinity levels within Lake Albert, the cracks in levee banks, the collapse of banks, and other issues are still being felt as a result of that particular drought. Water levels around important water bodies were managed through the Goulwa Channel Level Management Project and Lake Albert Water Level Management Program and the State Water Security Plan, which is now superseded by Water for Good. There's some people that have a crack at Water for Good, but I'll tell you, it is being held up around the world as to how this state is going to manage its water in all aspects of it into the future. It is a good document. It is an adaptive management document, and I thank all the people who have been involved with respect to the development of Water for Good, that blueprint that we need to turn into a roadmap with respect to how we manage all aspects of water in this state. But within Water for Good, the plan also included the construction of a desalination plant at Port Stanley, investigations into harvesting, treating and using stormwater, and encourage water conservation, you know, through restrictions was one part of encouraging water conservation, but also rebates on low flow devices, rainwater tanks, and a period through water restrictions. And what we've seen, if we look on any fair assessment, if we look 10 years ago at what the quantity of water that was being used from SA Water, that's what's being used today, we were probably using on average, and I'll be corrected by someone, I'm sure, 50 gigalitres a year less water than we might have been than we were 10 years ago. And it's a credit to the people of South Australia that, and if there is something positive that came out of the drought, notwithstanding the work that you all did and you're going to learn and assess, is that people in South Australia appreciate more, I think, the value of that resource being water that sustains all of us. Now look, what was also important was good communication and engagement of a range of audiences that were fundamental elements to the government's response to the River Murray drought. And the key focus was a direct personal and direct personal communications engagement. And the then Minister, my friend Carlene Mabel, met with numerous community groups and individuals, as well as addressing many large public meetings. In addition, Dean Brown and Neil Andrew were appointed as community liaison managers to provide a conduit between the affected communities and government. Both met with a wide range of concerned individuals and community groups, and there was their direct and personal approach that was complementary to and complemented by a range of written material that was made available through media releases, websites, and responding to frequently asked questions. And again, the people in the room that were part of the drought task force, that was established across the state, because we've got to remember too, it wasn't just the River Murray that was suffering from the drought, it was a statewide drought. We established task forces and reference groups across the state to deal with, amongst other things, finances, social problems arising from that. And I congratulate, and I see Helen and some others from PIRSA here, that were part of a whole of government, whole of community approach of dealing with what were the impacts of a drought that extended beyond the River Murray corridor. Look, the River Murray Drought Response Program successfully achieved its goals, I think, throughout the drought period. Critical water human needs were met. throughout the drought period. The water quality of the River Murray was maintained to a level of potable use. Acid sulphate soils were managed so that the entire Lower Lakes body didn't acidify. No native wetland or aquatic species were lost, but I'd also say too that there's still some problems with respect to the quality of water in sections of the Coorong and Lower Lakes, and whilst that's the case, we want to make sure that it remains the case that no native wetland or aquatic species were lost. The River Murray horticultural industry was assisted to enable it to survive as an industry for future years, and the riverbank collapse was managed as a state hazard to minimise the loss of life or damage to properties. Now, I want to finish off by saying this. You know, self-praise, my mother's always taught me that self-praise is no recommendation, and it's also safe to say that we didn't necessarily get everything right, and not all of our decisions, and Carlin will testify to this, not all of our decisions met and were met with universal acclaim. It's therefore important, critically important, that we capture the lessons from this period, what worked, what didn't, and what can be improved, because scientists, and I know there's enough in this room, scientists tell me that the drought that we had is a glimpse of the future, where they will become more frequent and more intense. And that's why fora such as today's workshop, and I think it's forum because we're only having one, provide valuable opportunities to reflect on these and other issues. So we're in a better position. So we're in a better position to deal with the next drought that will inevitably come along. In this context, it's also important that the lessons that we've learned are used to inform what we hope will be a united South Australian response to a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to address the problems associated with over-allocation in the Murray-Darling Basin system so that we build a resilience into that system when the inevitable next drought comes. On that note, I want to conclude by wishing you luck in your deliberations. I look forward, and I really look forward to seeing the outcomes of today's forum, and I look forward to being in a position where this state can hold itself up as being a leader in all aspects of how we manage water in this state, from dealing with near catastrophes through to the science and research that underpins the way by which we manage water in this state. So good luck, everyone. I look forward to seeing how it all pans out. Thanks very much, Richard, for inviting me here today.